Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. This is Snack Pack on your day off. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture each and every week, twice a week. Wherever you get your podcasts, don't forget to go ahead and check out the Pop Culture Cosmos this weekend, because I've got more great stuff coming at you. We're going to be talking Godzilla X Kong. You know, if you want the little baby Kong action going on there as well, go ahead and we'll talk about that as far as the new Empire, plus also talking more about three-body problem, the future of Star Trek, and more. Go ahead and check it out this weekend wherever you get your podcast. Inside Sports Fantasy Football, we recently covered the NFL free agency and how it might affect your fantasy football team. So go ahead and check it out. Plus also, as well, go ahead and check out Joe Soros, Oxide247 at LakersBall.com. And of course, he's running an empire in synthetic turf down in Southern California. Almost sounds illegal in nature, but yeah, it's legal. It's on the up and up. It is Simblades, Simblades with a Y.com. Plus also our good friends, Laker Tom, dreaming the big dream that the Lakers will go undefeated and defeat the Boston Celtics for their 18th championship. Yes, you can go ahead and dream the big dream with him and Jamie Sweet at LakerHolics.com. Our good friend, John Costa, he is such a great part of what we do on our post games. Go ahead and check him out today at, of course, Lakers Corner and Clutch Talk. Also as well, Empire Jeff TV. Of course, Lakers in 5, John McKinley channel, and Daniel Berry Sports Highlights. Yo, those are all great Lakers channels, because we love giving the love to all the Lakers Nation. Well, except for Lakers Nation, because you know they got enough love already. But go ahead and support the channels I mentioned. And speaking of supporting great channels, please like, follow, and subscribe. I know we always say that. I know I say it a ton, but they tell you on Googleisms to go ahead and keep repeating it ad nauseum, so you can get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air with the latest Lakers Fast Break Podcast. With the Lakers now 9 games above 500, still 9th place in the Western Conference, still breathing down the necks of both the Mavericks, the Suns, and the Kings. Looking forward to seeing what they'll do on Friday against Indiana. And Indiana, even though they did lose pretty badly to the Chicago Bulls, I have a feeling they're still have an eye on trying to even the score. Well, they can't even the score because we beat them in the IST, but getting some revenge back as we face them in Indiana tomorrow. So we'll go ahead and see what happens there. But the thing I wanted to ask is about LeBron James' recent comments in regards to being more strategic about how the Lakers are going to close out this season, as opposed to, say, last season. Last season was a mad rush, a mad dash, final 26 games, 18-8. They had to win every single game in order to get into the playoffs and get that momentum. And that momentum rode them a long way until, depending on who you talk to, if you talk to me, part of the reason why they lost against Denver, yes, there was some talent differences possibly, but the Lakers were gassed out. The Lakers, by the time that they got to that series in the Western Conference Finals, did not have enough energy to match up with Denver and his pretty parent there. So what could they do this time around to prevent that? So one of the things they may do is go to a more strategic outlook as far as taking care of LeBron's ankle. So that might be more LeBron missed games in the final nine games of the season. It might be more Anthony Davis resting DNPs for the rest of the season. Does this sit well with you? Does this sit well with us? Is this a smart move? Because even though the Lakers are only two games out, realistically outside of what Phoenix is, because Sacramento, even though they're below Phoenix in the standings, I have a feeling because of the tiebreaker, you probably were looking more towards Phoenix and the fact that they have the toughest schedule for the final few games of the season. We'll go ahead and discuss that strategy, as it were, but here today is a returning awesome guest. He is the man indeed behind so much great work for the Orlando Magic Daily. We will also talk his Orlando Magic, a team that could have really, really set themselves a lot higher with a victory over a Draymond Green-less Golden State Warriors. But again, they still have nine games to get it right. It is Alfred Esmond. Alfred, great to have you here. Daniel Berry Sports Highlights. Yo, always great to have you here, my friend. Alfred, I will say it's always a pleasure having you back on. You asked to come back on. We timed it out perfectly. It is the middle of a very important road trip for the Lakers. Orlando Magic coming down to the wire themselves, battling it out for what, third, fourth, fifth, sixth place right now in the Eastern Conference. It's now that time, my friend. It's now in the final 10 games of the season for the NBA, and the races are getting very tight.
Yeah, Gerald, I'm excited. We're about to get playoff basketball very shortly here this season for both teams. I mean, I think, you know, obviously I'll start with my Magic. They've gone above and beyond any expectations they had at all this season. Sitting at fifth right now in the East, hunting for a fourth spot with the Cleveland Cavaliers. They also have the Indiana Pacers right behind them. So Lakers getting a win there could be huge for the Magic and help them out a lot as well in this next game. And it's exciting. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. And with the Lakers, obviously, I feel like, you know, depending on what LeBron's strategy looks like and whatnot, they can find themselves getting into the play-in and having a sort of Cinderella run towards the top. It's an exciting time for basketball. We finally, it feels like it flashed before our eyes this season. It feels like just yesterday I was on here in August talking with you guys about what the Magic were going to look like and whatnot. Now here we are talking playoffs with really both teams. So that makes it all the much better.
Absolutely. Tyrone, again, with nine games left, the tiebreakers do not go the way of the Lakers when it comes to the Sacramento Kings and also as well the Dallas Mavericks. So when you look at it in the standings, Tyrone, I want you to look at it in standings. So it's very optimistic that you think the Lakers can get the sixth seed, but let's be realistic here. The Lakers currently at 41-32 are three games behind in the loss column to the Dallas Mavericks. In essence, it's actually four games because they don't own the tiebreaker. And with Sacramento, they're two games behind in the loss column there as well, which essentially, because they don't have the tiebreaker there, is three games as well. But the team, Alfred, that they do have an advantage over because they're play in the IST, and you could thank the IST for this, which I don't like to thank the IST for much, especially because it kind of derailed the Lakers season for a little bit, is the Phoenix Suns, because they do have the tiebreaker on them. They're only two games behind. Plus, Phoenix has a substantially harder road to go. And in fact, I heard the Zach Lowe podcast earlier today where they were talking about how, if you look at it in the past, what, 20, 30 years or something like that was mentioned, that they have the second hardest last 10 games of those last 20, 30 years. But they did overcome their biggest obstacle in Denver on the road without Jamal Murray, of course. They, you know, Denver couldn't really field a full team. Nice of them. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. But it just shows you that there, I think the possibility of the Lakers moving above any team is going to be them, Alfred.
Yeah, I think, you know, especially you look at, it's kind of weird looking at the Western Conference standings this year, because it's all the, you look at the top of the leaderboard for the West, you got the Nuggets, obviously, and then it's a bunch of really younger teams that are just kind of exploding this season. And then you have the normal I guess, normally named contenders towards the bottom, being the Lakers, the Suns, Mavericks teetering on the brink, the Kings, even if I guess you're including last year. I think it's a very tight. A lot can happen over 10 games. The Lakers don't see the Suns anymore this season, but the fact that they just have that tiebreaker now being, what is it, two games back? Is that what you said?
They're two games back in the loss column. So they're actually two and a half overall. But I look, like Joe says, always look at the loss column. And I have to agree with him on that. I don't like to agree with him because it just feeds his already momentous ego that much more. But I will agree with him in the loss column. And if that's the case, I can understand that, again, with the fact that if you look at it on the surface, the Lakers do have a viable chance to overtake Phoenix, depending on how you look at the schedule going forward. The Lakers have a lot of East Coast teams. Toronto's lost 12 in a row. They're playing Washington. They've got a lot of teams that they can easily beat if they set their mind to it. But you heard the comments from LeBron James. It was posted out there by all the reporters on Twitter yesterday, but was also previously mentioned by Chris Wallace in exclusive during the Milwaukee game, that LeBron James said he's going to be more strategic and that the Lakers are going to be more strategic about how they approach the last and final nine games of the season, i.e. meaning we'll probably see some more DNPs by LeBron, AD, or both of them. We've seen before that this will allow other teams to go ahead and be able to solidify their spots, which would probably more than likely, if that's the case, and you have LeBron and AD, and you can't expect the same kind of success you've had over the past couple games each and every time. The Lakers have a good record without them or one of them in the lineup, but it's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But let's say that they are going strategic going forward. Where do you see the Lakers ending up? Do you see them actually pulling ahead of Phoenix, or do you see them more solidifying a ninth place spot?
Yeah, it's very difficult to tell. I think if I were them, it's not a bad idea, obviously. And I like that you mentioned the playoffs last year and them getting gassed out once they got to Denver in the Western
Conference
Finals.
They were gassed out. I'm not using that as a total excuse, because talent-wise, obviously, when you throw Jokic and Murray, that's a, as we saw, a championship combo. But I think the Lakers, had it been, had they not gone in there as tired as they did, I think they would have put up a little bit more of a fight. But that's just
right. Yeah. So I think that definitely plays a factor. I think that's creeping in the back of LeBron and AD's minds at the very least going forward into this final stretch. And I think, there's definitely certain games on the schedule. You got at Brooklyn after Indiana, Washington, you said, even Memphis. You have games like that where you can consider sitting those guys, because a Lakers team without those two should be able to beat, a Memphis, Brooklyn, or Washington, right?
I don't share that same comment, because they've beaten Boston without LeBron and AD, yet they've been waxed without them as well. So, it goes either which way. And as we get close to the end of the season, my friend, you don't know how many of these teams are going to be doing the El Foldo act, or in a case like New Orleans, who they also play at the very end of the season, they may rest all their guys. So you may be able to take advantage. The thing is, though, the ninth place spot, that would mean an extra game as far as the play-in is concerned. I really would say it'd be better if they had the eighth place in the Western Conference than the ninth place. I just think it sets up more success for you to get in the playoffs and be able to do some damage.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think, it's going to take a daily, look at the standings, and then, Darvin Ham, the players and all their minds come together and they have to say, well, look, if we want to be in a position where we don't have this extra game and we win, we're into the actual playoffs, so to speak, we got to play tonight. Even if that is against, let's say a Washington or something like that. I think it's all about, what they do. I think over these first few games, if you see the Lakers come out, win these first three in the last 10, all of a sudden, depending on what the other teams in the play-in do around them, you could see LeBron and AD sit. It's very dependent upon who they're playing, where they're at heading into that night in the standings, and then also what the other teams, what the Kings, what the Suns, what the Warriors are doing as well, as opposed to what the Lakers are doing when it comes to competing for play-in spots. Because I'm sure, with Golden State even, I think they'd even like to make a push to try to get an eight. I don't know how possible that is for them, depending on their schedule. But I would imagine they want to avoid an extra game as well doing that. So there's a lot of competition with these teams with tons of talent. And it just depends on the situations the Lakers are put in literally every day going forward until the end of the season hits.
I will say this, though, because Kurt always in the chat, doing the best he can to entertain everyone out there. The Lakers did report, actually, Shams Charania did report this morning, and I did retweet it out this morning on at Lakers Fast Break on Twitter that Gabe Vincent is going to be traveling with the team starting in Indiana, and that he most likely will be available to play against the Brooklyn Nets, I think, on Sunday, if that's the case. And while that's good, Alfred, how much, as Joe always says, how much can you really expect from someone who's only played six games all season, who's just his career was in jeopardy because of the constant knee injuries that he had, the fact that he had the knee injury, he rehabbed, they brought him out way too quickly. It got a lot worse after one game, had the surgery. What do you actually, or what can you actually expect from that? I mean, Jonathan Isaacs is a great example where it took him seasons, not the same season, seasons before he could get back to where he is now, which is a viable part of the Orlando Magic rotation.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for us and Jonathan Isaac this year, Jonathan Isaac's been the eighth wonder of the world for this team when it comes to what he can do on defense and certain nights of him and his scoring output. Once again, it's not always reliable, but in the case of the Lakers and Gabe Vincent, I mean, at this point in the year, I'm going to be honest, that you can't really rely a whole lot on it.
I know Philadelphia's relying a lot on Joel Embiid coming back to play the season.
Yes, they are. And I mean, it just, like, I don't know. Maybe if they have a way to implement him back in games against, I hate to keep picking on them, but I keep using the Washington game. If they have the way to implement him back into the game plan against Washington, maybe. But then I don't know, you know, I don't know if I see him playing against Minnesota, you know, later on in this 10-game stretch or something like that and really doing a whole lot. It's tough. You know, I don't know. I don't know how well he'll do it. Even Gabe Vincent's just not – that experiment's not worked for L.A. this year that much at all. And it'll be interesting to see. I guess it's another body to have to rest some of the better players during the playoffs once you make it. But I don't know if I'm relying too much upon what the Lakers do as far as where they're going to get seated based on Gabe Vincent's output and where he's been playing, averaging, what, 5.4 points a game in the handful of games he's played. It's not that much of a game changer in my mind. And, you know, props to Coach Ham and the staff if they can find a way to implement him, you know, solidly before the playoffs start. But I don't think that's something I'll look into as much as, you know, other people would like to think.
Plus also as well, Spencer Dinwiddie, after getting bought out by Brooklyn, or actually by Toronto, after he was traded to Toronto from Brooklyn, it took him a while to get to, you know, with the Lakers, just had to find his sea legs per se. And he's really, in the past three games, found a niche with the Lakers, and he's produced. And not only on the offensive end, but he's been providing at least some decent defense for us at times, which has been very much appreciated for a team that sorely needs it on the perimeter. So, yeah, again, I don't see how much Gabe Vincent actually helps us, seeing how, you know, oh, new guy. Oh, that's right. I saw you in the summer. That's right. Okay, yeah. So I don't know how much he actually will give us, but you're right. If they go ahead and they have big wins in Toronto or Washington or Memphis again, if they can give him some burn in those games, maybe save some time, take some minutes off of D'Lo and Austin and those guys, and, you know, rest them a little bit more, maybe even give them a DNP, and maybe Gabe Vincent can give you something. But yeah, I know a lot of people are excited about Gabe Vincent coming back, but I just want to try it. Me, as the master of tempering their enthusiasm and just straighten it, shooting it real, saying, okay, the guy has not done much this season. You got to get him back into NBA speed and shape. And that takes time. That's something you can't do overnight.
Right. Yeah. And especially not over 10 games heading into a play-in spot where, you know, nothing. I mean, the play-in tournament's tricky because nothing's guaranteed. I mean, it is the playoffs by definition. But in all honesty, you're trying to work your way in and get to a point where you compete for a title. And that's just one step in the process. And you're not going to be able to have Gabe Vincent, who's played, you know, a good amount of minutes over the course of more than likely less than 10 games, you know, coming to a play-in game where you need to win. You need to win the basketball game. And I think it's tough for the Lakers. It's kind of like why they made that move for Dinwiddie in the first place. I saw, I can't remember what game it was. Indiana, was it? He had 26 points. That was back about a weekish ago. He looked very, you know, he fit in very nicely with the team and whatnot. I loved what he had to offer, especially getting him out of Brooklyn. It was very much necessary for both himself and the Nets as far as their own rebuild goes. So I think that's why you bring a guy like that in there. For guys like Gabe Vincent, who's not necessarily playing as much this year, it's definitely the move to rely more on Dinwiddie and the guys that have been playing up until this point, especially with the Lakers riding, what, 5 wins in a row at this point?
Yes, they're 5 in a row, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so if they're riding that win streak at this point, it's like I don't see why you need to really change anything until you something gives, so to speak.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse. So you had watched The Tomorrow War before The Matrix?
Yes.
If you forced me down, I was tied into a chair and I had to watch one thing, I would say The Matrix Resurrections.
Really funny.
Yeah, because of all the cutscenes, I could remember what a good movie was like.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Yes, that's the only reason for the flashbacks, to remind you what a good Matrix movie was. That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, it is Alfred Esmond. Please go ahead and check out what he's doing today at OrlandoMagicDaily.com. He's got a lot of great articles, including his latest one. It's a NBA draft preview. 5 draft prospects you won't see in March Madness. So yeah, he's already got his eye on the future for the Orlando Magic, which we will touch on before we head on out. But I wanted to go ahead and get a little bit more Lakers talk in there for us. And again, is it the better route? The strategic route. I mean, I have to say, part of me likes it, the fact that they are thinking more about their health this time around than what happened last year in regards to that, because they did gas themselves out. But that 9th spot, Alfred, that 9th spot as we go into it, that's going to be a tall order for them to go ahead and sneak in to the top 8 in the Western Conference via the play-in. Via playing most likely will be a Steph Curry, could be a Houston team. Then you've got maybe a Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. Maybe you've got your arch nemesis, if you're AD, Domantas Sabonis and De'Aaron Fox. Or maybe you have a Luka and Kyrie Irving. If one of those teams takes a fall and starts drifting back, you might end it up with them. So it just makes the work harder. But I can see and understand with LeBron's troubled ankle and AD just, my God, he gets banged up every single game somewhere. He gets hurt all along the game. But he's gotten it out, and I got to give him a lot of respect for it. So I guess I could see where they're coming from as far as being strategic. I just think when they say those things, they're setting up for the fans to say, you know what, we're not going to be able to go ahead and go all out and do what we can to push it as fast or as hard as you think we should.
Yeah, it's certainly, I keep laughing when I look. It's just that the Western Conference has been such a nail in the foot when it comes to where these teams are placed. And especially in the Lakers spot, I keep repeating it over and over. It is very good teams that are in the play-in kind of spot when you look at them on paper. Right. No, I mean, you have so many players to worry about whoever you're playing in the play-in. And I agree with you. I mean, I think it's such the LeBron comments, they do make sense when you first hear them. But then when you look at, you know, kind of the scenario they're in and the situations that can happen on a daily basis over the course of these last 10 games, it's just very touchy. And I think the Lakers, if they do it right, they can make it work. But at the same time, they've got to remember and make sure that, hey, maybe we don't want to play this extra game in the 9-10 spot. Maybe we don't, you know, maybe we want to make a push, you know what I mean? Like someone said earlier, for the 6th seed, by the very off chance that happens. Maybe we want to make a push like that. It's very difficult. Also, do you want to do that when you've won 5 straight games and kind of derail any sort of chemistry you had from that stretch? It's just, it's very difficult. And I think if they find a way to do it right, props to them. But I think they need to keep the big goal in mind, and that is to make sure you get through the play-in and see beyond the play-in as far as getting in there, winning it in the easiest, smoothest way possible. So you're then competing for the NBA title in the regular formatted playoffs.
Very well said. It is Alfred Esmond. Please go ahead and check him out today at OrlandoMagicDaily.com. So I do want to go ahead and make sure the Orlando Magic, one of the big surprises in the NBA this season, gets some time in the spotlight. They're 42-30 as we speak right now. They are two games out for the New York Knicks in third place, 1.5 games behind the Cavaliers. They're 2 games in front of the Pacers. With 10 games left, Alfred, I don't want to say it's pretty much a sure thing that they have fifth already, but a Lakers win over Indiana tomorrow might help seal that. If that's the case, are they looking to go ahead and make a push to go higher? As a young team who has not had this kind of success before as a group, is there the temptation to go ahead and make the push forward ahead of New York and Cleveland?
I think that's an interesting question, actually. I haven't thought of it in that way. The one thing I think, watching this team and watching Coach Mosley and what he says, I think he puts it very bluntly, and I think it's very true. He says, you know, with the age we're at, we're just looking to take it one game at a time. And I think that's what they should do, because as of a couple weeks ago, the Magic had the easiest remaining schedule in the NBA going forward. That was as of a couple weeks ago. May have changed in these last 10 games. But even looking at the next 10 games, what I have here in order: Clippers, Grizzlies, Trailblazers at home, in New Orleans, in Charlotte, at home against Chicago, in Houston, in Milwaukee, in Philly, and then at home against Milwaukee. So the 2 Milwaukee games are tough. That's what stands out to me. But you do have your Portlands, your Charlottes, your Chicagos thrown into the mix. So they still have those easy games to play with and whatnot.
Houston, though, the Clippers might be tough. Depends on which Clippers team you're going to get. But the at Houston, right, I think, could be that would be a tough one to play.
Yes, they are on a tear right now. I mean, Jalen Green's a one-man wrecking crew with what he's doing. And they're right on the Warriors behind for that 10th spot. I mean, it's getting close with them. But I think for Orlando, they need to make sure they take it one game at a time. Like, I think they can't get too far ahead of themselves. I think they put themselves, I mean, you said it best, and I think everyone watching would agree, they put themselves in an unbelievable position we would not think they would be in at this point in the season. And they can really make, they're not in a position to win a title by any means at this point in time, but they're in a position to be pretty competitive, I would think, in however many playoff games they play. They just need to make sure they're playing the best brand of basketball. I don't really see, maybe Paolo and Franz sits that last game against Milwaukee, maybe the one before in Philly. I don't really see them sitting, you know, in this LeBron strategy scenario like they would over the course of those 10 games, especially with the East outside of Boston. The Eastern Conference in the middle 2 through 6 seeds is pretty close, relatively speaking. So, I mean, I don't see them sitting them that much. And I think they're just looking to kind of compete against these teams on a night in and night out basis, especially if they were to, by somehow in some miracle, get far enough. They would play these Milwaukees and maybe these Philadelphias later on, and they have those 2 teams the last 3 games of the season.
Once again, it is Alfred Esmond. Please go ahead and support his work today at OrlandoMagicDaily.com. Outside the Miami Heat, the Orlando Magic's probably amongst any of the playoff contenders right now, and playing contenders, probably have the worst offense that I have seen. And that's not meaning to be any detriment. It's just the fact that they have a hard time manufacturing points. Whereas the Lakers, on the other end, since the calendar year is turned over, they have been pretty much the number 2 team in the NBA in scoring points as far as offense is concerned. Now, they can't stop anyone, that's part of the problem. If you could only combine the two, you know, as far as
best of both.
Yes, the best of both is concerned, but how big of a concern in the playoffs? Yes, I do know when it comes to the playoffs and play-ins that the teams will be more defensive minded. And obviously that benefits a team like Orlando in low scoring playoff games. But how much of it, how much of a concern is it for Orlando, what you're hearing in regards to a possibility of a 7-game series where really manufacturing points will be hard to come by?
Yeah, I think, you know, you can look at it either way with that. I mean, you can look at it in the sense of, well, down the stretch of these series, I don't know if Orlando's going to have the points to keep up. But at the same time, it can become where, oh, well, this other, let's say, I'll throw a team in there, for example. The Knicks are a possible first-round matchup we could get. The Knicks are struggling to score down the stretch here in this series against Orlando because they're becoming way and way more suffocating. It seems like, to me, that's the side I'm leaning on. I'm leaning on more of a, okay, if this team comes out firing guns a-blazing and get a sweep or a 5-game series win, that's how you beat the Magic. But if Orlando's taking you through this, you know, grueling 6-7-game series that's just, you know, a hack fest, physical, et cetera, that's where these teams can come into trouble. Now, I do think the shooting problem and offensive problem is going to come back to bite them at some point, and that's where they're going to get knocked out in the playoffs in general. Where that is, I don't know for sure, but I do think they can at least win a series against one of these Eastern Conference teams against them when it comes to their physicality and how they play on defense. If they force a series of that length, I think, you know, teams will start to, like you said, though, I think teams will start to figure that out. Let's say if they get Boston in the next round, I think Boston's going to figure out how to, you know, work their way around that and score on the Magic. But it's that's how they win these games. A lot of their offensive output, I looked at this before, comes from their ability just to draw fouls and get to the free throw line and have the easiest shot in basketball, in quotes. They're first in the league in attempts per game, seventh in makes per game, and they're third in free throws made per 100 possessions. So it's a team that lives at the free throw line and tries to get their points at the free throw line as much as possible, which is good considering, I think last time I checked, they were the worst 3-point shooting team in the NBA. So it's interesting to watch because it does seem like they don't have the offense to go ahead and win a lot of playoff games into the way later rounds. But again, if they take a game or even a series and just make it long, grueling, and physical, and boring for a lot of people to watch, a lot of NBA fans to watch, that's where they're going to win these games. And I think they can do that against some of these teams and opponents they'll possibly get in the first round.
And the thing is, though, the Lakers were once at the beginning of the season, actually for the first couple months, in where you were at, they were statistically one of the worst shooting teams in the NBA. We constantly said on the show, it's just like they couldn't throw a pea into the ocean. It was absolutely abysmal, but they found the stroke. And the thing is, they're not taking an abundance more than what they were taking when they were that bad. What they're doing is that they're just much more efficient at it, which is causing a lot of issues for the other team. And also they're getting back to also what they did. The Lakers were when they were successful, meaning transition and free throws. They're now getting back to the point where last year they were historically so over anybody in regards to the free throw disparity that, you know, obviously a lot of people in the NBA were saying, hey, it's the refs got it rigged, et cetera, et cetera. Well, they're now getting back to that point once again as far as their free throw disparity over other teams. So offense is now seemingly a key for them. How well will that be for them coming in the playoffs? We'll have to wait and see because, again, they will have to translate that 3-point success they have found because they're now one of the top 10 NBA 3-point teams out there with three guys that are in your rotation that are shooting above 40%. But it's how you do that in the playoffs is going to be a key. And of course, when you're playing at a 9th seed, which statistically still they are most likely to fall on, it's going to be a harder road to climb. So they need to consistently shoot at that level in order to go ahead and advance, Alfred.
Yeah, I think so too. And I just looked, I mean, the scoring output from them has been unbelievable over this stretch. I think they've had 125 plus in four of the last five games.
Yep.
So, you know, and usually, like you said, that comes sometimes that kind of scoring output comes with, well, the defense lacks a lot. That's what we saw from teams like Indiana from a little bit, from Atlanta for pretty much this entire season. I mean, it's just interesting to see, and it's worked for them thus far. I just think, you know, maybe over these next 10 games against some of these teams that are, you know, going to be a lottery pick like Brooklyn, Washington, Toronto and whatnot, you know, maybe you're looking for like a good defensive shutdown game where you hold them to under 100 points or something to kind of level out the balance of both defense and offense. And that puts you in a good position, you know, to be competitive, especially in one game, one win in your end scenarios in the play-in tournament that you will get.
Once again, it is Alfred Esmond. Please go ahead and check out the great work he's doing today at OrlandoMagicDaily.com. And make sure at the end, I will give him an opportunity to plug everything that he's doing because he's all over the sports world. And that is Alfred Esmond indeed. We were joking before we went on the air in regards to his future and whatnot and how his future may be already be destined in so many ways, whether he likes it or not, in regards to who he commits to for university studies. But I'll just leave it at that. But before we head on out, my friend, I wanted to go ahead and ask your thoughts on the NBA as a whole. We're getting down again under the last, 9-10 games of the season. Of course, we got the final, we've got the Sweet 16 going on right now. But when it comes down to it, there are a sweet 20 teams in the NBA. Who are the surprises coming down the stretch for you that you think people need to keep an eye on as we head into the play-ins or playoffs? Not all season long. That's great if you're a good team playing well above your head all season long. But who is interesting to you as we head into the play-in and playoff scenario mix?
An interesting story to watch, in my opinion. We were hinting at them a tad bit, but Houston, I just think that whole story with them possibly just clawing their way, you know, out of the back from the dead, so to speak, into a possible playing spot is unbelievable with how they're playing and whatnot. Another one too, I mean, they've been good all season, but they've climbed the rankings a lot is the New York Knicks in that third spot. They've kind of hung around the lower end of the playoff, like actual official playoff seedings, right around sixth or fifth for a lot of the year. And they're sort of fighting their way back up into it.
And they're getting healthier too at the right time.
Yeah. Yeah. So watch out for them. They might be a little bit legit this season. The New Orleans Pelicans, I guess if I had to choose a team in the West there, I kind of mirror them with how the Magic are. I think they're the Magic in the West when it comes to, you know, they're going to be certainly pretty competitive. I think if you're a title contender in the West, you do not want to play New Orleans in that first round because they will give you a good run for your money, so to speak. So I like them a lot as well.
Let me ask you this. How much does Brandon Ingram's injury hurt them? They still have a lot of size and length, but how much does Ingram's injury hurt them?
I think it definitely does. I mean, I would be lying if I said it didn't. It definitely does a good bit. He's, you know, an impact player on the wing. I think if you have to have a lot of it fall on Zion, I think that's going to be an issue. Of course, we've seen Zion's injury issues throughout the year. This is the first year where we've got like a pretty big, decent dose of him and what he can do. I think, you know, without a Brandon Ingram as his support, it'll be hard for them to even win a series. But I do think, you know, if they end up they're in the fifth spot right now. So if they end up playing that whatever fourth seed that may be, I still think they'll be competitive with them as well. I just think, you know, he definitely does not prevents them from having a long playoff run like they could. But I still have them as a hard team to play against, and they've given some teams some fits, I mean, that they've had in wins. So they'll be an interesting team to watch. But certainly Brandon Ingram with his shooting and his dynamic scoring off the wing that he can provide, it's a big miss for New Orleans and a big hit for them in any playoff run they could have.
But if you can get Zion to play at a Zion level consistently over a 7-game period, that could be very enlightening for them. So I don't want to underestimate anything that they're doing because, again, they can throw a lot of size and length. Troy Murphy III, it's just absolutely sensational. I think he's a superstar in the waiting. If he's just got to put a couple things together, but he really looks good. Herb Jones is, you know, oh man, the guy plays incredible defense, but he can't shoot. He's shooting now. So
yeah.
So they've got some size and length to throw at people. So definitely don't want to underestimate anything that New Orleans Pelicans is doing at this time around, even without Brandon Ingram in the mix.
Certainly. And then I'm looking at the standings too. I guess in general, the spot the Lakers are in, those four play-in teams, if it stood and ended today, that would be an incredible, incredible play-in tournament just from an eye candy perspective. I mean, the teams we have in there, I think it's certainly unique just because, you know, we have the young upstart Thunder T-Wolves teams up there at the top. And then we have just the usual Western Conference big name contenders, you know, in the play and fighting to get in and stuff. It's interesting. It's been an interesting NBA season. I kind of like it. I don't know how much people like it. I know there might be a few Lakers people out there who are like, yeah, it's whatever. You know what I mean? But I think it's very interesting to watch. So that'll be certainly interesting as well. And then I guess the big story in the East going forward is this going to be, can anyone stop Boston? I think they're still, in my opinion, a shoe-in best team in the league. I think they're hard to beat if they're all clicking at the same level, both their bench and their starters. So that'll be the big story there. But the West, I mean, I'll have my eyes locked in on that play-in tournament if it stands. And even I just want to see also what the T-Wolves and the Thunder can do with the young, talented cores they have. So it's been a fun season, interesting season, and we're right in the thick of the heat of everything when it comes to championship basketball. So I'm ready.
If you'd have told me that LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, DeMontis Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, and Stephen Curry would all play the majority of their games, and still they would be on the bottom half of the Western Conference swing, I would have said, you're crazy. Absolutely crazy. It's still hard for me to fathom what I'm seeing in the Western Conference.
Yeah, it's insane to think about. And I mean, you can't forget either. I mean, Jalen Green and his Rockets buddies are coming up to the door for the party, knocking, asking if they can come in. So I wouldn't have guessed that either. I would have still said they were, you know, a top five pick, bona fide top five pick team. And here they are, you know, creeping in as well. I just, you know, I think it's very cool to see, very interesting to see. You know, the NBA may not like it rating wise and whatnot, but I think the ratings for those playing games are going to be through the roof if it stands as it is. And we just got to watch what those teams that you named, we got to watch what they do, because there's still a lot that can change, especially with how tight that play-in scenario is in the West in the last 10 games.
So one of the last things I'll ask you today, and this again is Alfred Esmond from Orlando Magic Daily. Please go ahead and support what he's doing today at OrlandoMagicDaily.com. One of the back teams, and of course, lurking around in seventh is, of course, the ever-present Miami. We don't really care about the regular season. We'll show up, you know, after the calendar hits April. We'll go ahead and hit there. But which of these teams on the bottom half do you think, I'm not saying will beat or surprise a Boston. I'm putting that up. But I think Milwaukee, that was my preseason favorite coming out of the East, which is, obviously for me right now, shaky after what we saw against the Lakers. Mm-hmm. But which of those teams on the bottom half of the bracket can surprise maybe a 2, 3, or 4 seed and make it farther like Miami did last year?
Yeah, I think, you never know with Miami. We'll have to see what they do. But that's the easy pick. If I got to take a little bit more difficult of a pick, if you'd consider the Indiana Pacers a bottom half team, I'd do it a 6 maybe. I'd say them. I just think, you know, if they're one of those teams, you know, we talked about it, their scoring output at certain points during the season was ridiculous. And even if they don't play defense, that's something that Milwaukee and I guess the team in the third spot right now, New York, would struggle with keeping up with if they got into that kind of shootout style of basketball. Now, I think where Indiana falters is their lack of defense, and that's going to hurt them, you know, if they get into this long, drawn-out series like I've been talking about. But I do think if they can catch one of those teams on the run, they can grab a few wins, I guess, in a series against them and give them a run for their money. Outside of them, it's kind of hard. I think Atlanta's just kind of too separated from the rest of the field when it comes to defensive ability at all to be kind of competitive with anyone. I don't really – like, if I had to pick right now, I don't think they're going to make it out of the play-in scenario. I guess we never know with the Sixers either. They're in eighth, but, you know, if Embiid makes a return, here they come again. It's certainly – I think that my two picks would have to be Indiana if they can get the scoring output back, and then Philadelphia if they get an Embiid return. They won't do it without him. We've seen that. You know, I've given up faith on them kind of like having any sort of momentum without Embiid. But if they get him back, that would be very, very huge, and they can make a run at it as well.
I was meaning Gabe. Gabe Vincent is a very streaky shooter. He brings a new word, a new meaning to the word streaky, in my opinion. But yes, in regards to that, because he'll go on a tear for like a week, 10 days, and then he'll not go on a tear for a week, 10 days.
It's the opposite.
Exactly. We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Needing an edge for your fantasy football team? Listen to the guys at Inside Sports Fantasy Football for insight that will help you reach your league championship. That's Inside Sports Fantasy Football. Check it out today on your favorite podcast outlet. But before we end and out, you mentioned Embiid, and that's something I want to touch on. He is close to returning from what we hear. Let's say he gets about five games left. Now, we've seen before where he plays through an entire season, you know, goes on that MVP push because he wanted that MVP. He desired that MVP and he got it. And then he basically, like we talked about the Lakers, put so much effort into that back half of the season, it really showcased itself as far as his fatigue factor in playoff scenarios. So, that being said, with about five games left, Philadelphia reintroduces Joel Embiid to the lineup. I understand he'll have to probably play a play-in game or two because of where they stand in the Eastern Conference standings. Could that be such a bad move after all, him getting, because you saw how well he and Tyrese Maxey at their peak earlier this season, how well they played. The possibility is there that they could recapture that, pardon the pun, magic of what they did earlier this season if given enough time for Embiid to come back.
Yeah, it is so funny too. I just pulled up their schedule, their remaining schedule. When you said five game, when he comes back with five games left, let's say that scenario would happen. The last five games of the season for the Sixers are honestly a joke. You have in Memphis, in San Antonio, Detroit at home, Orlando at home. I think that'd be the most challenging of the five. And then Brooklyn at home. That would be five pretty good tune-up games for Joel Embiid before he gets back into a play-in scenario or even playoff scenario whatsoever. So if that were to happen, the Sixers obviously don't have that tough of a remaining 10 games left. It is very likely they'll end up in the play-in scenario. With the kind of teams that are in the play-in as well, outside of a hot Miami Heat team you get at this right around the seventh spot, you have Chicago and Atlanta. I don't think they're going to be able to compete with Joel Embiid whatsoever in the play-in if those were the teams. So really, that makes Philadelphia have a pretty good chance of working their way back into the playoffs. And all of a sudden, you know, we could see a top-to-bottom series between the Sixers and Celtics in the first round, just because that's how it would end up with seeding. And that would create an interesting matchup.
Unless they move up to seventh.
Right.
Right,
that too. And then we'd see them against Giannis either way. I would love either of those because that is probably something the Bucks and Celtics would not want in their first round, at least not that early in the playoffs to deal with. And it would be a headache. So we could see that. I think that could, that's definitely one thing in the East that could completely cause an earthquake in the landscape of the playoffs that we wouldn't expect, I don't think, because I just don't see the East, the play-in for the Eastern Conference is so lopsided, and it depends on what Heat team we get and what, and whether or not Embiid comes back. It'll be interesting to watch. So that's another thing that I'm going to look at going forward is his health and when he comes back.
I think healed is a key for them. He has not played well since he got traded from Indiana, but if he does find the stroke and he gets hot for 2-3 game period in a series, and you've got Embiid and Maxey out there, they can give a team some fits.
Yeah.
You can't underestimate them.
No, they got, and that Buddy Hield trade was for shooting reinforcement, and so far not really come up to par. And I think it's hard for that team too. I mean, Embiid, I think is just such a factor for them. They rode that Tyrese Maxey magic for a little bit earlier in the season, but I think that's starting to fade. And I don't know. I love the guy to death. I think he's a great guard, one of the best the league's had this year, but I don't know how much the Sixers could ride his coattails with just him out there in the playoffs alone. So we'll have to see. Maybe that Embiid spark kind of just translates to everyone else on the team. I don't know, but I think, you know, it's certainly interesting to think, because I think they're just a whole different team with Embiid out there on the floor, and he's a guy who can make everyone better if he's out there.
Once again, it is Alfred Esmond. Please go ahead and support him today at Orlando Magic Daily. And before we head on out, my friend, it's time for the cheap plug, as it's always customary for a guest to do, which I'm hoping you will return many times over, my friend. Go ahead and let us know what you're up to right there for not just Orlando Magic Daily, but whatever it is you're working on, because baseball season is here, opening day. Everybody forgot about that. Sweet 16. It's a little bit of sports going on, my friend.
We have a lot of sports going on. A lot of sports going on. It's very exciting. Most of what I did today when it came to my sports reporting, journalism, whatnot, was opening day with the Tampa Bay Rays. Very disappointing, not fun game to watch today. They lost the Blue Jays 8-2. Did a takeaways little thing on that and whatnot. But baseball's back. I'll have stuff out about them. I got the Tennessee Volunteers hat on. They're in the Sweet 16, as well as a lot of other teams. Going forward, I'll be writing stuff for Hardwood Heroics on college basketball. I help them out with that side of the department. Check them out too for NBA stuff. That's mainly what they do, but I do college basketball things for them. Of course, the Orlando Magic, I'll have something out on their April part of the schedule before the playoffs. A little bit of a scout, I guess, of those teams will play and whatnot, and what we all expect from them. Bills, not as much, but there's still off-season stuff going on. We'll be looking at what happened this past season, how they can improve over there on Buffalo down. And hopefully I'll be back here with Lakers Fast Break very soon. Get on here, talk some playoffs maybe before those start, right before the play-in tournament, right before, I guess, the general playoffs as well. And that's it. It's an exciting time for sports. March Madness, playoff basketball, and then baseball every day from now until October. So no complaints over here in Alfred Esmond's world.
There you go. Please go ahead and check out and support everything that he's doing. Follow him today on Twitter, Facebook, wherever you can go ahead and hit him up. Instagram, he's at as well. So go ahead and hit him up today at Alfred Esmond. It's right there for you. Or check out the great work that he's doing on the Orlando Magic to get you prepped for the playoffs and what's going on in the East at Orlando Magic Daily. Well, my friend, it's great to have you on. As Kurt says, you're welcome anytime in the LFB. We love seeing you in the chat, love seeing you on the show. But any last thoughts, my friend? As Kurt says, even if you're bored, any last thoughts before we head on down?
Well, Kurt, I'm always bored. Don't worry. So I'll be back on here in and out and stuff. And I hope it's going to be a good ride for you Lakers fans. I know it's definitely not the spot you'd want to be in at this point in the season.
All I say is you reap what you sow, my friend. And the Lakers have sown this season.
Right. Right. Well, it'll be exciting just to see what they can do to end it and whatnot. Maybe they turn a cornerstone or anything like that. But that Western Conference, man, it's just so, so tough. I feel for a lot of the teams in that conference, sometimes I don't realize how fortunate the Magic are in the East and then I look at the West for half a sec at those standings and I'm like, oh my gosh, it could be worse.
Honest opinion, would the Magic be in the top 10 in the Western Conference?
I think they'd have – let me look and see. I think they'd have
– Are they better than Houston? Let me ask you this.
I think we're a better team than Houston. I'm going to give us the benefit of the doubt on them. We would not – I will say this, 100% guaranteed we would not be in the top 10 or top 6 in the West. We would be in the scramble for one of those play-in spots, if I'm being honest. Okay. But we've benefited from that from being in the East. But it's exciting. I'm excited for both teams. Just very interesting. It's good to have both teams in the playoffs so we can just talk more. That's really what I'm happy about in general. And that's really it. I'm just excited. NBA playoffs almost here.
Absolutely. And I'm hoping for long playoff runs for both of our teams. It is Alfred Esmond. Please go ahead and support him today at TheLandoMagicDaily.com and, of course, on Twitter at Alfred Esmond, indeed. So truly appreciate your being here, my friend. Glad to do anything for you as far as NBA, talk on sports. You want to stop by, chew the fat on the NBA draft, NBA playoffs. Doesn't matter, my friend. You can always stop on by. You're always welcome. Always great to have you here. And thank you, everybody in the chat, the best Lakers chat room that's out there. We'll be back tomorrow for our live coverage. It is the Indiana Pacers coming up tomorrow. Pre-game. During the game with the simulcast from playback.tv, it's House Lakers Fast Break. Of course, the best post game in town. And you know Joe Soro. Will he be drinking some more Costco vino or something a little bit harder? That's going to be up to him. We'll find out on the Lakers nightcap as well. Oh, there he is in the chat as we're leaving. Typical Joe. But
he's
go
not
ahead.
Hiding.
No, he never hides. He never hides. Believe me. When you call him out, at least he answers. But it is, of course, the Lakers Fast Break. Thanks so much again for watching. We'll be back for a full day's coverage of the Indiana Pacers with the Lakers heading into Indiana to go ahead and face off against them. Will they continue the winning streak? We'll go ahead and check it on out. It was something that Kurt said, Ox 1947. Look at the chat. Scroll up. Scroll up, my friend. Scroll up. But yes, will we go ahead and be able to go ahead and finish off the road trip strong with a win tomorrow at Indiana and even more this weekend? We'll find out. But stay with us always right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.